Acts chapter number 20. I know we've been here a little bit longer than we normally are under quarantine. Whole lot less than we are normally. But sitting there while in those masks can be a little taxing, so I'm not going to keep you very long, and I'm a little bit taxed already. But I have something to say, and I want to tell you what he told me. I dove down into Acts 20 earlier this week, and I intended just to take a little brief swim there. I ended up wading a little while in the water in Acts chapter 20, and I won't tell you what I got while I was treading water, and I hope it helps you like it's helped me. Acts chapter 20, you're there in your Bible. Malika said King James. So if you don't have one of those, you might be wondering what I'm reading from. I'm not making a mistake. You made one. All right, Acts 20, verse number 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I may finish. So that I may finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word, that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing, anoint these feeble lips of mine, and give me strength that only you can get the glory for. I pray for those who are listening and watching who need encouragement. I pray for anyone in the building or perhaps who's not here today but who's tuning in that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that one might get saved today. The blood still works. Oh God, make a difference and do it in a way like only you can, and we'll give you all the praise and the honor and the glory that's due your holy name, for it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I briefly want to give you the context of what's going on in Acts 20. The Apostle Paul is speaking now. He's at a place called Miletus. When he gets there, he sends for the elders of the church from Ephesus. Now, I want to remind you that Acts 19 tells us that Paul entered Ephesus and spent 2 years there. This church was a church that was very intimate to him. These folks were lost when he got there. He gave them Jesus and they got saved. Isn't it amazing that people are lost? We give them Jesus and they get saved. And he spent 2 years there developing them and training them and establishing a local New Testament church. And then he left, and now he is burdened about these folks in Ephesus. He wanted to go there, couldn't actually go to the city. So he sent for representation from Ephesus in those elders to Miletus to be able to bid them for farewell. In Paul's mind, it was perhaps the last time he would see them. He wanted to tell them how important it was to them. Now, before you get a little nervous, I did not come this morning to bid you farewell. By the grace of God, I plan to be here a long time. Amen. But I do want to gather some thoughts from Paul's farewell message to the church at Ephesus. So many times when we're reading the writings of the Apostle Paul, we're reading from Paul the church planner, Paul the missionary, Paul the visionary, Paul the evangelist. He's writing from a church, writing to a church as an apostle to encourage them from afar. But I feel like the tone and the tenor of Paul's writing here and his speaking to the elders from the church of Ephesus is not one of an evangelist, a missionary, or a visionary, but it is one of a pastor's heart. He's speaking to them like someone he was attached to, like someone he was burdened for, like someone he cared about, like someone he truly loved. Please understand that the 2 years he had spent there had involved time. He had not only given them the gospel, but he had given them himself. He had poured himself into them. He had shed tears with them, endured temptations with them. He had done right by them. He had treated them with respect. He had lived with humility. They knew that he wasn't living his own way. He was living God's way. And now, years later, as he had been saved for a length of time, that man that had gotten saved on the Damascus Road, that man who had left persecuting the church for preaching Christ, was enjoying the greatest life, the only life worth living, the life living for the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing in Paul's former life that could compare to his present life. There's nothing he had done before he got saved that was better than what he had done after he got saved. All of the money in the world could have been offered Paul. He would have never taken the life back that he had before he met Christ. And by the way, I don't know about you, ain't nothing better than being saved. Amen. Ain't nothing better than knowing the Lord. But I will say to you, despite the fact that the Christian life and preaching Christ was the greatest, grandest life that Paul could live, it did seem like everywhere he went, there was an uproar. The more good he did, the more bad people did to him. The more he preached, the more problems he had. This called man, this saved man, this used man found himself everywhere he was going, getting persecuted, ridiculed, run out of town, laughed at, stoned. He had attempts on his life. He'd been robbed. He'd been stripped naked. He'd been beaten. He'd been thrown in prison unlawfully. And that's just to name a few. Nothing seemed to be going right for him from a worldly perspective, the more that he did right for Almighty God. The harder he tried, the heavier his trouble. And yet he was meeting those from Ephesus saying to them, I'm going to the epicenter of persecution. I'm headed to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem were the most religious critics who hated what Paul did, who hated what Paul said. To go there was like a death sentence on his life. I want you to understand something. As he gathered himself before these elders, challenging them, reminding them of what he'd faced with them and what he'd face now when he left them, he hugged them. In the next chapter, they begged him not to go to Jerusalem. Please, Paul, don't go. The man of God said, you're going to go and there's going to be problems there. And yet Paul said, with everything seemingly going wrong, with burdens on his shoulders, with trouble ahead of him, with problems in every city he faced, he looked at those Ephesian elders, if you would, and said, when some would be discouraged, some would be doubting, some would be dismayed, some would be distressed, some would be in despair, some would be detoured, I want to tell you folks, I am determined, I am dedicated, I am devoted, I am decisive, and yes, there may be problems, and yes, I may be shipwrecked, and yes, I may be thrown in prison, and yes, I may be beaten, and yes, they may be waiting for me, and yes, they may try to kill me, but I've come to tell you all something before I leave about all these problems that I'm facing. None of these things move me. And I thought this week as I was walking this morning, walking in the morning, every morning from about 7 or 8 o'clock, and I thought about all that has happened since I got saved. I got saved at 4, surrendered to preach at 9, gave my life for my generation at 16. I think about all the times that I've preached, nearly some 350 or 60 times a year, all the places that I've visited, all the people that I've had the opportunity to witness to, lead to the Lord and influence. And I thought about the joys of pastoring this church for the last 9 years. I thought about the 39 years ago that God led a man and my dad and my mom to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost of God, and God allowed him to plant this church. And by the way, we ought to thank God for the investment of this man into this ministry over these years and how God used him. We wouldn't be here today if a man hadn't sold out to Almighty God and a woman hadn't surrendered her life to stand behind him. And I thank the Lord for the faithfulness of Dr. Lou Baldwin and the fact that I didn't inherit a mess. I inherited an opportunity to continue the work for God. But I will tell you this, the longer I preach, see, seems like the more problems that exist, the more you try, the more trouble that comes. It seems like the more you do good, the more folks want to do bad. It seems like the more that you're trying to serve God, the more that you're faced with trouble. I don't know about you, when you seem to live for the devil, it seems like everybody likes you. Everybody praises you. Everybody enjoys you. You try to live for God, it seems like folks seem to turn. The world's not getting any better. Do you hear me now? It's getting worse. And then you get 2020. Do we even need to bring up 2020? COVID-19, racial unrest, political chaos, killings and fighting, and all of the sins that were in 2019, they didn't stop. They kept on going too in 2020. It's been a year. I can't tell you, every month at the beginning of the month, I get to the month and say, maybe I'll preach my meetings this month, and I cancel them. And then I get to the next month, maybe I'll preach my meetings and I'll cancel them. And then I get to the next month, maybe I'll preach my meetings and I'll cancel them. I get up every morning and I say, this morning I'm going to start walking and this chest is not going to hurt me. And I start walking and this chest starts hurting me. And I think, well, this limb pain is going to go away, or these symptoms are going to go away. All of my preacher friends say, we got it. It's gone. We back to 100% and holla at your boy. They don't really say that, but it seems like here we are still in this stuff. And I thought when I got out the hospital March 28th, I'll be preaching on Easter. By May, I'll be a missions cop. By June, I'll be at Pensacola. By July, I'll be in Pigeon Forge. By August, I'll be down at the other place in New Jersey. By September, I'll be running down to Emmanuel Baptist in Abingdon. And by October, I'll be in Tennessee, and all these kind of things. And the Lord has said, no. Here's the problem. These problems start surfacing. And some of God's people, because of all that's going on in 2020, you know it. You've been discouraged. You've been doubtful. You've been in dismay. You've been in distress. You've been in despair. You've been in detour. Some people have thrown in the towel. This is too hard. Ain't no way we're going to be good Christians with all the 2020. Somebody thinks that God up in heaven has given us a pass for living for him in 2020 because he didn't think about COVID, and he didn't think about racism, and he didn't think about an election year. And God's going to look up at the judgment seat and go, when you judge him, Jesus, don't count 2020, because they don't have to do right, because 2020 was such a bad year. Can I tell you, the Bible works even in 2020. The Bible works even in COVID-19. Now, I can't speak for everybody, but I came for just a few moments. I got 7 points, but I promise you, be the fastest 7 points you ever heard. I came as the pastor of Crossroads Baptist Church to tell you that I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to dismay. I'm not going to be riddled by distress or despair or detour. I am just as determined, just as dedicated, just as devoted, just as decisive. I can't yell as loud, can't preach as long, can't travel as far. There's a whole lot of mess. I don't know when it's going to end, but I came to tell you behind this plexiglass this morning with your mask on and COVID-19, we don't even know when it's going to end, but I came as the pastor to tell you none of these things move me. I'm still just as excited about serving God today as I ever have been. And I hope you are too. All right. 7 points. What made Paul say, none of these things shall move me? Number one, an undeniable force. He said, I'm bound in the Spirit. I'm bound in the Spirit. Paul, why are you going to keep on going? Because the Spirit won't let me stop. Somebody say amen. Pastor, what are you doing up here this morning? The Spirit won't let me stop. Why are you still reading your Bible? The Spirit won't let me stop. Why are y'all still trying to have church? The Spirit won't let me stop. Yeah, we're going to mask up. Yeah, we can take your temperature. Yeah, we're going to social distance. But we're here this morning because there's some binding in the Spirit. I said there's some binding in the Spirit. I didn't say slaying in the Spirit. I said bound in the Spirit. When the devil wants me to quit, the Spirit won't let me. When the world wants me to quit, the Spirit won't let me. When my body wants to quit, the Spirit won't let me. I have an undeniable force. I have an uncertain future. He says, not knowing what things shall befall me there. Doesn't seem like this virus is ever going to end. We keep thinking it's going to end. We say, well, there'll be a vaccination. That doesn't mean it's going to end. Look, folks, we don't know what 2021 holds. I'll be glad when 2020 is over, but 2021 might start the same way 2020 ends. I tell you one thing, though, none of these things shall move me. I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I've got unpleasant facts
ahead of me. Save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying bonds and afflictions abide me. He said, I don't know what the future holds, but one thing the Holy Spirit said, wherever I go, I'm going to be bound and I'm going to have afflictions. Mark it down. Even when the virus is gone, we will have afflictions. We will never be trouble free until we're in the presence of God. But even though there are some facts ahead of us that are unpleasant, guess what? None of these things move us. Notice the unselfish function of Paul. He said, neither count I my life dear to myself. This is Paul the accountant. He says, I'm laying it all on the table. I'm measuring how much my assets are worth, how much my valuables are worth. And he said, I want to tell you something about this body and this life. I don't even think it's that important. You know why? Because I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God and I have had a conversation here the last several weeks, the last several months. God, this is not my body. This is your body. I don't count my life. That doesn't mean I don't walk, haven't changed my diet, and don't eat right. But I'm telling you, this body is not my home. I'm going to get a roof with no leaks in it. I'm going to get a building not made by man's hands. So don't you let the discouragement of this crazy body discourage you, my friend, because we're going to get a new body. And when we get that new body, it won't have any problems at all. An undeniable force, I'm bound in the spirit. An uncertain future, I know not what shall happen. Unpleasant facts, bonds and afflictions await me. An unselfish function, I count not my body dear to myself. An unstoppable finish, I'm going to finish my course with joy. I like what Paul said in 2 Timothy. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I don't know what the world's going to do. I don't know what this virus is going to do. I don't know who's going to be in the White House in November, but I know what I've decided. I'm going to finish my course with joy. Somebody didn't hear me. I said, I'm going to finish my course with joy. God didn't call me to sell cars. He didn't call me to troubleshoot computers. He didn't call me to chase women. He called me to preach. So by the grace of God, I'm going to finish my course with joy. I'm going to preach till I have no preach in me. I'm going to keep on giving it until I have no give in me. I'm going to keep opening this Bible till I have nothing else to say. Why? Because God called me to preach and he called you to something. And by the grace of God, don't you let 2020 get you discouraged and distracted and detoured. You finish your course with joy. An uncompromising focus he had. Now watch this now. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, I've got an uncompromising focus. Not only do I have a course to finish, but I got a job to do. God gave me a ministry. I received it and I'm responsible for it. Amen. And I've got to testify about it. Could I tell you something, my friend? We cannot let the circumstances of our world stop us from doing the job God has called us to do. Listen to me. You still need to be a witness. You still need to be an ambassador. Your family still needs the Lord. You can't turn your Christianity off. People are watching you now more than they've ever watched you. You can't throw in the towel. Your kids need to know. 10 years from now, they're going to look back to 2020 and say, the world changed, politics changed, culture changed, but mom and daddy still read their Bible. Daddy still prayed. Pastor still preached the word of God. Crossroads still held to the truth. Paul said, an uncompromising focus, and lastly, an unquestionable faith. He said, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. When I talk about faith now, I'm not talking about Paul's faith in God. I'm talking about the faith that God, Paul received from God. The faith once delivered. He said, I've got an unquestionable faith. In other words, I don't have a changing gospel. I don't have a shaky gospel. I don't have a cultish gospel. God gave me a belief that's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens in the world, Jesus is still going to be the only way to heaven. The blood is still going to be the only thing that works. The Holy Ghost is still going to be the only person that indwells a believer when he gets saved. Listen to me. I don't care what comes out by way of law, legislation, amendment. I don't care who's elected. I don't care who's reelected. I don't care who's not elected. I don't care if nobody's elected. There are some things in November that will happen regardless of who's in charge. And that is, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Scarcely for righteous men some would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He that believeth on him hath everlasting life. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, as many as received him, to them may be power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth on him hath everlasting life and is passed from death unto life. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I know there's a lot going on. There's a lot to complain about. There's a lot to quit about. But somebody ought to join Paul and me this morning and say, despite what's happening, none of these things move me. And I hope they don't move you. Yes, ma'am. That's a sign for wrap it up. I hope we're not going to be moved. I've watched a lot of people be moved. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, before she give me another look, some people have been moved, and they can't blame the virus. They were moving before the virus. Okay, some people not at church because it's not safe. Some people not at church because they're not spiritual. And I'm not talking about the safety issues, because I think you ought to be safe. But just because you're not at church don't mean you ought to be living like the devil. We have got to stand. We cannot keep getting moved, because God is still God. Father, thank you. Thank you for being faithful to us. Help us to be faithful to you. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder how many say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand down. Pastor, I don't want to be discouraged or dismayed. I want to be like Paul. None of these things move me. God has spoken to me this morning. Would you raise your hand all over the building? May God encourage you. One more question. How many say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I don't want to go to hell. God has spoken to me this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Thank you. I see that child over there. God bless you. God bless your children. It's so easy to get moved. If Paul had any sense, we'd be thinking he should be going away from Jerusalem. Yet he's going towards it. Are you retreating from the work of God or running to it? Be safe. Take care of yourself. Do what you have to do. If it's not safe, don't come to church. But if you can't come to church, make sure you still come to Jesus. Father, thank you for what you've done, for what you're doing. Keep helping us. Mind you, Lord. May none of these things move us. We pray in Jesus' name.